Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from Jesus Christ our Lord. How many of you, either now as you have kids or when you were growing up, had chores you had to do? Think of that, of assigning chores, assigning different tasks to do. And they always talk about at different ages, you get different chores to do. At our house right now, we kind of have a chore chart, or we kind of call it star chart. And I know a few months ago I talked about parenting. It's not always the best to always use rewards, right? Not the best way to train and things. But also, it's sometimes good because you're pointing out the good things, right? And when you do chores, when maybe you were growing up, or as a parent, if you have kids doing chores, you notice how they can be done in one of two different ways. Sometimes you can be really thankful that they did them, and other times you can be really upset as they're doing it. What's the difference? Maybe they're doing the dishwasher, emptying it, and they're stomping around. Oh, I don't want to do this. I have to. This is so hard, right? And when they feel forced to do it, and when you have to like just coerce and tell them to do it five times, are you happy even when they get it done? Not really, right? It's more of a pain, and you had to ask them many times, and they're not really happy doing it. Some of the reason that we have the star chart is we actually want to reward behavior that they aren't doing it for anything. When they just help out a sibling or clean something up and are doing the things that we're trying to teach, but are doing it naturally and not out of getting a reward. The other day, we have the kids clean up the table after dinner, and Eli didn't clean up his food before I was coming over here to church, and so I asked Annika, can you go and grab his plate and clean up his plate? And she goes, would I get a star then? And I was like, no, I'm just asking you to do it. But if she probably would have just done it, maybe I would have given her a star. But when she's seeking that, and when we're looking for it, what we really want to be teaching is just to do it naturally. And that's part of chores, is you want people to understand what is good and right to do, right? So, as we look at our life as Christians, what does God want us to do? How does God want us to live our life? God doesn't have us do things out of reward, right? God looks at us, and because Jesus lives, he wants us to live differently. We see that in both, in all our readings today, but we see the Apostle John writing about this and how to live differently. We're going to see what this means and how we can live this out and what this means for us in our hearts as well. In the verses before our text, verse 16, he says, this is how we know that what love is. Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. In this section, in chapter 3 of 1 John, he's been writing, and the people have kind of been fighting with each other. They don't know how to treat the brothers and sisters, and so he's saying, love one another. And why can we love one another? Is because Jesus has loved us. Jesus laid his life down for us. And then later he talks about what the command is that God really wants us to do in verse 23, is to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Savior, the one who came to love us, to die for us, and to rise again. And so, because he did that, we have something. We have a righteousness because of what Christ has done. We're made righteous by Christ. We have to understand that Christ has loved us and forgiven us, and That's what changes everything. When we look at this, it's important to understand that the Bible talks about two types of righteousness. And if you mix it all up, you get it all confused. Because if you see all of this as the righteousness is all about what we do, that I have to fulfill God's righteousness, that it's not done already, then there's always more. There's never enough. But if we understand that there's these two types of righteousness, the first thing that I'm made righteous by Christ, because when he died, he said, "It is finished." He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It's enough. He did it. And so I'm made righteous, but then what does he say? We have to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. And in verse 23, that we believe in Jesus and to love one another as he commands us. That even though we're called to be, that we're made righteous, we're also called to be righteous in the world. But if I, again, you mix it up and you think it's all about you being righteous that earns you the righteousness, how much stress? How much unknown? Because can you ever be righteous enough? I don't think so. But we understand that God has made us righteous, and so then we can go and love others, just as those in the book of Acts did. As they share everything, they had seen what Jesus had done for them, they knew what it meant to be forgiven and loved, and so they went and shared that. And so we're called to be different, and so we live differently, and that's kind of in two different ways. We live differently knowing I'm already righteous. As a book we read on Sunday nights quotes that we already have the verdict. That it's not like other religions that the performance then leads to the verdict, but we have the verdict. You're forgiven, you're righteous, and that leads us to serve and to love others. So what does this then look like? Well, he says then, as we're to love others, in verse 17, he says, if anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us love with words of speech, not just with words of speech, but with actions and in truth. What's he saying here? But our faith shouldn't just be words, good thoughts, but we should put our faith into action. That faith flows into action. That as I know what Jesus has done for me, I'm going to love others. I'm going to serve others and give of the blessings that I have so that others can be blessed by God as well. How does that look? We saw that in the book of Acts. We see that as we can serve others, not just with words and actions, not just with words and speech, but also with action. How can we do that in your lives? You can think of opportunities all around you. Maybe a friend or family member who is having a difficult time to help them out. Maybe they need help with taking a kid from a place to place if they're busy or someone's sick, or maybe you can provide a meal for them. Or maybe one of the most important things is giving time, right? Where they're struggling, maybe they're struggling with what is happening in their life, and you can be there and you can give spiritual hope and peace to them, and you can comfort them. Because we can help with our time, our talents, our treasures, our money, but time sometimes is the most valuable, isn't it? So whatever gifts you've been given, you can help those around you. And you can do that just in your personal life, but we also see how we can do that as a church. How can our actions, our faith flow into actions. We have different compassion ministries here at church. We have our Soup for Souls, where you can bring meals to people who maybe are having health problems or had a loss of a loved one or a birth of a child and just need a little bit of help or just to hear that someone loves them. We have our food pantry, where you can donate and be there. We serve almost 50 families a month. And so we are able to help these people who are in need. And both of those things, just to remind you, you can give your time. Also, those things we're not really putting in the budget. We're encouraging you to give to support those separately. And so, as we say, we don't talk about money very much in church, but these are awesome ways to put our faith into action, both with time and talents and treasures, to serve others. You can think of other ways that we as a congregation can serve people, can love people, and we're always looking for new ways, or ways that you can volunteer and help out, even when we said giving time. We have people now, we call a visitation team, that when people can't come to church, they go and are able to sit and talk with them, read a devotion with them, and encourage them. And so it's not just pastor that does that, but you can go and do that. It's ways that you can put your faith into action. There's all sorts of ways that you can do that, both you on your own, but also together. When we look at this, though, and we say, do I do that very well? John writes about this and says, if our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we keep his commands and do what pleases him. We can struggle with knowing if I serve and help and live out my faith enough. The truth is, we're not going to do it perfectly. We're going to fall short, and so we need the reminder that God is greater than our hearts. That when I see that I've failed, that I fall short of putting my faith into action, that God is greater. There's examples of where we as Christians, maybe we're considered hypocritical, or we just don't put we say certain things, but then we're accused of maybe not helping in other ways. One of the examples I have, this little sermon series on the back of the sermon notes that you can pick up and watch, but when we talk about pro-life, many Christians were pro-life, defending the unborn, and people say, well, they only care about the unborn, and they speak a lot of things, but they're unwilling to help the people, the moms, the people who are struggling, and to make it so that they don't want abortion. And that criticism, you can take it how it is, but to consider, how can we help people more? How can we put our love into action and to show that we care for all people? That sermon series had some great thoughts for us to think about of how we can serve and love and continue to lift all people up. In this, remembering that we're not going to do it perfectly. Our righteousness comes from God, and that I can only do this when I'm connected to God. That our hearts have to be connected to God in order for me to do anything. This is kind of a reflection of the gospel lesson, the vine and the branches. And I was thinking of this as I often print things from my house, and I have my computer and I need to print them at church. And sometimes it doesn't connect to the right Wi-Fi, and it connects here at church instead of over at school. And so I can push print, but as many times as I push print, what happens? It doesn't work. And you know that probably pretty well with your phone or your computer. If you go somewhere and your phone or computer isn't connected to the internet, what happens? You can do all the things you want. You can push all the buttons to make everything to work, but if you're not connected, there's no good.
Yeah.
That's how it is with us in our faith and our actions and Jesus. John writes that we will have fruit. If there is no fruit, he actually says they will be thrown into the fire. But we can't demand what type of fruits or how much. But if we are connected to God, like just like the phone is connected to the internet, to the Wi-Fi, if we are connected, we will produce good fruit. We will live differently, and we don't have to fear if I've done enough or if I am faithful enough because I am righteous. I'm connected to Jesus, and therefore I'm made righteous. And therefore I can then live different. Living with a joy and a peace and loving and giving and serving in ways that others can't and can't understand. Not to earn anything, right? Not like my daughter, oh, can I get that star? We know that we've been loved and we are forgiven and made righteous. What do we want to do but to share that love so others may know Jesus and others may come to know that forgiveness and peace as well. Amen. Please stand. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.